Amen. God is good, and He is good all the time. I'm just going to take a great look around, see how a bunch of wonderful people we've got. How are y'all doing this morning? Well, good. Anybody doing bad? All right. I just thought I would ask. I didn't know if you'd admit up to it or not, but I'm going to always ask how my folks are doing. I want to tell you that God loves you this morning. If you came in here and you're burdened down, if you came in here sad and depressed, if you have anxiety, if you came in here and you're saying, God, I don't know what's going to go on next. Lord, I need help. And you know what? Maybe you've got a physical thing going on inside of your body. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the very moment that He's going to come into that situation and turn it around. And there is going to be a turnaround. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I also want to ask that if you have a cell phone, that you at this point in the service would put that on silent or vibrate. Because I am interested in wanting the Holy Spirit to be in this service without interruption. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet like we do every single Sunday morning. And I have you stand because I want you to realize what you're doing. You're standing. And Keisha, we're standing by the grace of God and nothing else. In a week's time, everything on earth could come at you and make you want to quit, make you want to give up, make you want to throw your hands up and say, God, this is too hard. But I want to tell you right now that you're standing, and you're standing by the grace of God, and God has made you well able to stand. If He's come against your family this week, you're still standing right now. See, if He's come against your health, you're still standing right now, and you're standing because God saw it fit to make you to be able to stand. If you woke up with breath in your lungs, it's not over. It is not over until God says that it's over. And so I'm just going to ask you right now to begin to lift up your hands. Welcome the Holy Spirit up into this service because He's here. I'm going to begin to pray. Whatever's bothered you this week, I'm going to ask you to let God take it off of you right now. Whatever's gotten a hold of you and stressed you out this week, I'm going to ask you to invite God into that place where He can lift it off. God, in Jesus' name, all over the place this morning, God, I ask that You would go down each and every single aisle right now. God, I ask that You would search every heart, God, right now. Lord, let conviction fall where it needs to. God, let peace, God, and healing flow in the lives of Your children today. God, You know exactly who's watching on Facebook. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're right there on the couch with them. God, I ask that You'd heal everybody, God, in this place this morning. Lord, heal every broken heart. God, every disappointed person in here, God, I ask that You'd give them peace. God, where there's been an unrest, Lord, I ask that You'd settle, God, what's been unsettled for so long. And Lord, I ask that You'd move mountains for Your children today, God. And we give You all the praise and we give You all the glory, God, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a wonderful service this morning. I hope that you've come expecting because God has come prepared. Amen. I hope that you've come expecting because God has come prepared. I'm excited to be in His house. I want to tell each and every one of you that from the bottom of my heart, it's an honor to be your pastor. It's an honor to be your pastor. And you guys are the best of the best. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. And like I said, whatever you came in here frustrated about or stressed about or sad about, I want you to know that God knows. God knows. I want you to know that you haven't gone too far. God's grace and His mercy, it's there and it's fresh and it's new every single morning. And it's there for you. I'm going to ask you to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 27 through 30. And I'm going to preach a message this morning called Sinking Circumstances. Sinking Circumstances. And if you've lived at all very long, you know that there are circumstances. The Word of God says that in this life, You will have trials and you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he has overcome all of those things. And I want to tell you that you will have circumstances that at times in your life want to grab a hold of you and drag you down. I want you to know that you have a God that comes on the scene when those situations try to sink you and try to grab a hold of you. God is right there. But you, as a believer, you have your part to do in that. Amen. And so the title of this message is Sinking Circumstances, and we are in Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to set the scenes for you this morning. Here is Jesus, and he is walking on the water, and people wake up and they begin to see him. They thought it was a ghost. And so they say here in verse 27, Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I, and don't be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. I want to tell you right now that if you are in a situation and you say, "God, this is getting out of control. Lord, this is sinking. My circumstance is getting me sunk." I want you to know that you need to come to Jesus. Now, I'm not a religious holy roller that just sits there and bashes people over the head with the Bible, because that's ineffective. But what is effective is the Word of God. And the Word of God says, "Come." Here's Peter, and he's saying, "God, Jesus, if you're doing that, if that's really you, tell me to come to you." And I want to tell you this morning that God's telling you to come to him. Look here, when your situation has got you sinking, all Jesus is saying to you is, "Come on now, let's get up out of that sinking situation. Come follow me and let's go." But see, the problem with people is they don't know how to hear the voice of God. Why can't they hear the voice of God? Because they're hearing the voice of everyone else. If you're in a sinking situation, what you have to learn how to do is shut everything out and say, "God, what do you have to say about this? God, what is your opinion on this? I don't know about y'all, but let's keep it real here and let's preach at the level we all live. When I got something going on, I like to call my sisters. I like to call people and I like to tell them all about it. And then I like to say the golden phrase. Now, what do you think about this?" Who says that, or is it just me? I say it. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I sound like a racehorse. They just let the gate out. Blah, 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 blah. Casey, what do you think about that? Well, of course, Casey's my sister, and she's going to adapt whatever I think about it most of the time because she loves me. Right? That's how sisters are most of the time if you got a good one. But anyhow, you got to shut everything out. And you got to hear that still small voice. And you got to say, "God, what do you say about this? Lord, what do you say about my life? God, what do you say about this battle that I'm in?" Because you know what? God's got lots to say. And he wants to say it to people that are listening to him. And not only listening, but ready to move, ready to act. And so he says to Peter, "Well, then come on." You know? And when you get in a sinking situation, in a sinking circumstance, you know, there's people, I have no doubt, you're in a situation, you're thinking, "Well, I wouldn't call my circumstance sinking, but I just feel like it's just never going to end. I feel like this is how my life is always going to be. I'm always going to be this way. This is always going to happen this way. Every time I get in a situation, it's just always this way." Look here, that's a sinking circumstance, because God never called you to live a mediocre life where everything about your life stayed the same. Change is in the air. Change is in your life. If you're changing, you're growing. If you're staying still, you're stagnant, okay? And the goal is to move up and on to better and greater things, because God does not have failure for you in your life. What he has is victory. And what the devil has is the same thing. See, the devil has no new tricks. There is nothing new under the sun. The Word of God says that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he does those three things, and he does them so well that he doesn't need any more tricks, because those ones are still working today. But the Word of God says, "But I have come that you would have life and have it in abundance." Now, a lot of people would think, well, is she talking about money? Look here, let's forget about money. Let's talk about things that money can't buy. When God says that he wants you to have abundance, that's talking about your health. When he says, I want you to have an abundant life, that's talking about your soul. That's talking about your peace, your relationship, your finances, your marriage, your children, see, your job, all of those things. He wants you to live, and he wants you to live in an abundant life where the devil's not able to come in there and steal, kill, and destroy. But you will have issues into your life at times where those situations are causing you to sink. And when you're sinking, you need to recognize, I'm sinking. You got to recognize you're sinking. A lot of folks, I love this. I saw it on Facebook. How many of y'all got Facebook? All right. Just making sure everybody's got Facebook. If you don't, you probably are a lot more peaceful than the rest of all us. But what I can say is we get free entertainment, so I mean, there's a trade-off. There is no fake it till you make it. There is no fake it till you make it. You just need to keep it real with yourself. The problem with a lot of Christians is this right here, Miss Gail. A lot of Christians are just keeping up with the Joneses, and they want to look like they got it all together. I'm here to tell you, I don't have it all together. Y'all don't have it all together. So we're in a great spot because we're all here and ain't none of us got it all together. Now look here. Is that where we're living or not? Okay. Just got to make sure, because if there's somebody that's got it all together, they need to come up here and preach the rest of this message. And I need to listen. But at times, we have issues and we begin to sink with those circumstances, whether it's because of doubt and unbelief, whether it's because of just the stress of how long that battle has had us, for one reason or another. And the issue with a lot of Christians is they're sinking and they're so ashamed that they're sinking that they won't call out for help. They're so embarrassed that, you know, they're sinking. You know, a lot of people, they have their thing, their hidden sin, or they're this, and they're like, well, everybody thinks that I'm doing fine, and if I tell them I'm not fine, then you know, they're going to be disappointed. Look here, the best thing a person can ever do is raise their hand and say, you know what, I need help. You know what, guys, I'm not okay. If you're sinking, you're sinking. And when you're sinking, what does the word say? Well, Jesus said, well, just come to me. Come to me. When I was little, my parents, they tried very, very hard to make sure that we had a good childhood, and we did have a good childhood. And it was a good childhood. They did their best. And we had a great childhood. And one of the things that they did was they made sure that we got to have a vacation. And I believe that's important. Well, I have always been too big for my britches. Literally, no. I just started getting elastic britches. I'm like, I'm not even going to mess with that stuff. It's elastic from here on out. Now, if you don't like that, you're going to have to get over it. Okay? How many of y'all like a good set of elastic pants? Praise God. We got some normal folks in here. So, anyways, I was about 7 years old. Now, swimming has never been a strong point for me. I can doggy paddle, but Tierney, that's about it. You don't need to catch me out in the ocean or nothing like that because it's not going to be good. And my sister Casey is 5 years older than me, and all I ever wanted to do was be Casey. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, and I want to tell you something. If you don't hear anything else that I'm saying today, be happy to be yourself. And don't look around and wish that you were somebody else, because you're great just how God made you. Is God wanting to make you the best version of yourself? Yes, he is. But look here, don't be looking around and comparing yourself to other people, because every time you do that, you're going to lose right off the bat. See, because you can't be somebody else, because God made it so you could be you. And so, of course, I had younger sister syndrome, and I wanted to just, everything about Casey, I wanted to be. And when she went to the deep end of the pool, I wanted to go to the deep end of the pool. And I was always the littlest one until my Aunt Kathy had Ryan, and then he was the baby. But I was the baby for a while on these vacations that we went with all the, you know, Italian family. And if you ain't been on a vacation till you've been on an Italian vacation. Because things happen on those vacations we can't even talk about. They're that neat. So we get in the swimming pool. And my dad, what dad likes to do is he likes to corner his family and minister to them, and they can't get away from him. Well, he did that to Uncle Patrick at the swimming pool. Well, he was sitting there talking to Uncle Patrick, and I get in the deep into the pool. Well, they done told me not to get over there. Look here, God's done told you where to go and where not to go. He done told you, okay? Daddy said, don't get on the deep end of the pool, Kelly. You know you can't swim. All you can do is doggy paddle. Let's keep you over here. Well, I didn't listen. Sometimes God tells you to do things or not to do them, and you don't listen, and you get off in Timbuktu where you ain't supposed to be. Well, all was well until Casey and my cousin Brett started splashing. And that water got up in my face, and I don't like stuff on my face. I don't like to be dirty, and I don't like stuff on my face. So here I am, and I'm getting that water off my face, Angel. And the next thing I know, all I'm doing is sinking. And my little head was coming up and down, up and down. And I'm going, where's Daddy? Where is he? He's supposed to be watching me. And out of the corner of his eye, this is no kidding, out of the corner of his eye, and I was, every time I came up out of the water, I was seeing his eyes. And Michelle, I saw the moment that he locked eyes with me. And there wasn't a second in between, and he was in there. And he grabbed me up, and he says, I'll never forget it. He says, I got you. Now, I want to tell you something. There are times in your life where you're sinking. And what you need the most in your life, you don't need everybody's opinion about your situation. You don't need to hear every word of advice that every messed up person in your life is going to give you, because you're going to be more confused if you listen to all of them. All right? They're trying to help you, but you listen to everybody, you're going to come up confused because everybody's going to have an opinion about your life. Have you figured that out about things yet? What you need the most is to lock eyes with the one that made you, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what you need more than anything else. You could ask everybody in your life about your situation. They're going to all tell you all sorts of things, but what you need the most is you need God. You need that moment with God, because if you're in a sinking circumstance, God's got you. But you're going to have to lean into Him. You're going to have to lock eyes with Him. You're going to have to stop right where you're at and say, you know what, God, I'm sinking. And God, I'm not too proud to say that. God, I'm not too proud to say that I messed up again. God, I'm not too haughty and arrogant to say, Lord, here I am. I slipped up. See, what can you do? Are you too proud this morning, or can you just say, you know what, God, I messed up again. And God, I'm sorry. Because you know what, when you can do that, that's it. God's not looking to sit there and beat you up over the head when you mess up. I mean, do we do that with our own children? No. I mean, I don't. Now, Kurt over here does. That's why Kurt's not God. Right? I'm glad I'm not God. Because some people, I'd just be like, yeah, you're done. Now, that is a joke. And if you don't like jokes, and if you can't laugh in church, or you don't think that's good to laugh in church, it's probably ain't going to be the church for you. Because we laugh here. We're going to have a good time. But most importantly, we're going to keep it real, and we're going to talk about real life things. And there's times in your life where you've got circumstances, and they're making you sink. And you know what? We just read here, and I'm going to keep on. And it said, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And sometimes we are going about in our life and we see chaos We see wind. We see troubles. We see all these things, and we begin to get scared. And just the fear of what may happen is the beginning of sinking. Just the beginning of sinking is just looking around and having that fear. What's going on? Let me tell you something. In the middle of the pandemic, let me just tell it to you like this. I am still shocked to this day that we had a worldwide pandemic, and the one thing that people thought was essential was the toilet paper. And I'm an Arkansas girl, and I was like, I must be the weirdest chick, because like I'm thinking, well, I mean, at the end of the day, they make wash rags, and I'll just rewash them. But like, why is everybody messed up over this toilet paper business? Like, come on now. But we see things, and out of fear, why was there a toilet paper shortage? Because of fear. And I find it funny that people were so worried about their rear end, that's the first thing they went and got, is something literally for their rear. Because most people are always out for numero uno, correct? Right. Well, I think I've done a pretty good job of preaching where we're at today. Got your all attention. Ain't nobody tired up here. So Jesus said, well, come. And then Peter began to look at the situation, and he began to get afraid. Now, let me tell you something. Nothing is what it looks like. And I always use this illustration, and I'll use it until the end of time. It's just like when you get on Facebook and you're looking around and you're going, why has everybody got this great life and my life isn't real great? Everybody looks so happy, and why is this and why is that? Well, I'll tell you why, because they're all faking it. That's why. Every time I see a family photo, I'm like, they probably got in a knockdown drag out to get that little blessing of theirs to behave for 1 second. I don't think that family I've never had a family photo where there was not a knockdown drag out. We all couldn't stand each other after the thing for like 3 days. I'm over there and I'm looking at Carson and I'm saying, I will beat you when you get home if you don't stop. Get off of the tree, Carson. Stop hanging off of the courthouse, Carson. Mom, do I have to wear these jeans? Yes, for 5 seconds, wear the jeans, and then I'll let you wear whatever you want to wear. Wear the jeans and the Christmas sweater. I want you to look cute for 2 minutes. But nothing is what it seems. So when you're looking at your circumstance in the natural realm, yeah, if you start looking at that, you're going to be weirded out by it, because there's things that could look really scary. I remember in the pandemic going, okay, God, well, what is next? I thought the pandemic was like a flu and we were going to get over that in 2 weeks. And here we are 2.5 years later and it's still a thing. I was sitting on the couch one night and we had been out of service for 2 weeks. And God spoke to my heart and he said, Kelly, who told you to let the church out? I said, well, I'm trying to be sensitive to the pandemic. He said, well, have outside church. Get those speakers and go outside. I said, God, I don't like to be outside. I'm not an outside type of girl. I don't like that. Kelly, go outside or I don't need you anymore in this type of a leadership role. Okay, God, I'll go outside. All sorts of crazy things happen outside. Dogs would get up there. One time we had this old man, and he was in a wheelchair, and he came right up to the front on the TV on our live service, and he looks at me and he goes, why are you so mad? Look here. When you got to strain your voice because everybody else is also having church outside and you want to make sure you're heard, you're going to sound mad, okay? But I learned a lot of things. Amen. in that circumstance. But let me tell you something. I didn't let it sink me. Whatever you're in today, I don't know. Whatever you're in does not have to be the thing that does you in. There's nothing that's too impossible for God. There's nothing that's too hard for God. But what you do have to realize, one of the main things is you got to know when you're sinking. And you got to be a big enough person, have enough character about you to just say, you know what, this isn't going right. And you stop and you ask God, Lord, where does the change need to happen? Go with me now to Psalms chapter 40. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And I always love to hear the pages turning. And usually the first time I hear it, Keisha, it always brings me back. And I always, there are certain phrases that when my dad pastored here, the 30-something years that he did, there were things that he said, and he said them every time he preached. And I always thought, why does he repeat himself? And I get it now because I do the same thing. So this is the part of the service where I'm going to tell you, if you don't bring your Bible and if you don't read your Bible, you're missing out. 45 minutes on a Sunday morning or an hour-long service with Brother Angelo on Wednesdays, that's not going to cut it for your life. If you are not in the Word, when the hard times come, the first thing you'll do is sink because you don't have the Word to stand on. You need the Word. You need to plant it in your heart. You need to get to know the Word, because when you know the Word, Kayla, you can speak the Word. The Word of God says that the Word is living and it's active. And so when you know the Word and you speak the Word, that Word that you speak, Melissa, it is alive. And that Word will go to that circumstance that's sinking you, and it will turn the circumstance around. That's what happens to a believer that knows the Word. Now, if you don't know the Word and you don't know what to speak over your life, that circumstance is going to get you. Get to know the Word. When God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and you take that Word and you let it be planted in your heart, you're not going to waste all your time trying to get vengeance on the people that's messed you over. You're going to realize that, God, you said in your Word that vengeance is yours. Lord, I'm going to go about my life. I'm going to forgive that person and move on with my life. But see, if you don't know the Word, you don't even know how to act. So get to know the Word. Get in the Word. This church service is not going to get you into heaven. And I can't get you into heaven. What I can do is preach the Word, and it's up to you to do what the Word of God says, which is work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Now, Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1, it says this right here. I waited patiently for the Lord. If you're in a circumstance right now and it's testing you, you're having something go on in your life and you're saying, you know what, God, this is just, I feel like it's going to always be this way. It's hard on me right now. God, I'm struggling. Look here. I waited patiently for the Lord. The problem with us now is that there are so many things that are just at our fingertips that we want everything now. Look here. What God has for you many times is going to require you waiting. One amen. What God has for you many times is going to require waiting. What do you need to wait? Patience. Patience. I don't like to have to use my patience. When I go to McDonald's, Tierney, when I'm in my house, when I'm like, I think I'm going to go to McDonald's or wherever. I go to way more places than McDonald's, but wherever I'm going, I start thinking. When I go to Walmart and I drive by it, here's what I'm looking for. How many cars are in this parking lot? Because if there's too many, I'm not going in here. Why? Because I don't want to sit there and wait. Now, am I the only awful person that does that? Because if so, pray for me. I need all the prayer I can get. But the word says, I waited patiently. You can wait impatiently, and you can whine around and cry all the time while you're waiting and have a miserable life, or you can wait and be blessed and wait patiently. See, how do you want your journey to be? Do you want it to be full of misery? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. I want to tell you that when you're crying all those tears at night, when you can't go to sleep at night, when you wake up and that thought is there to haunt you right when you wake up, I wanted to just tell you that God hears every moment of that. God collects and he holds in the palm of his hand your very next breath. He holds every tear that you've cried about that situation. He knows exactly the way that your heart breaks every time that that thing comes up. He knows exactly what's going on with your life. Wait patiently, because what you know about God is that he's in the situation already. What does it say that he did? He turned to me and he heard my cry. Now, I don't know if over the years, if I have gotten selective hearing or if I'm just getting hard hearing. I don't know. Because half the time I think, am I going deaf? Because certain things I don't even hear. My parents are like, we'll be driving in the car to the steakhouse on Friday night. I like to go out, hang out with mom and dad. You're never too old to hang out with your parents. And my mom, she'll be in the back and she'll be like, oh, they're so loud. Y'all boys be quiet. And I'm just in bliss and I'm like, I don't even hear them. Well, hear God. Hear him. He hears you. In verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. I want to tell you this morning that God has a very firm place for you to stand. If you're struggling in your recovery, if you're struggling in addiction, if you're struggling in your life, if you're struggling at your job, God has a firm place. He is picking you up right now, and he is getting you out of that slimy pit, and he's putting you in a place that's firm. He's putting you on a firm place. And what you cannot do is you cannot afford the luxury of looking around and looking at everyone else, because you're going to lose sight of God in that situation. It was only when Peter started looking around did he start sinking. See, when you're in a circumstance that's sinking you, don't look around. Don't be looking around. Well, Sally Sue's in this situation too. Look at what's going on with her. It's just awful. Well, look here. How is Sally Sue's relationship with God? Stop worrying about Sally Sue and worry about yourself. And ask yourself, okay, God, is there anything in my life that I need to correct? Is there anything, God, in my life that's grieving you? And God, it doesn't matter what is being done with so-and-so. God, I'm not so-and-so. God, I'm Kelly. God, I'm Angel. God, I'm Michelle. God, I'm Gary. God, you called me out and you told me that I was your kid. And God, because of that, I'm not going to look around in this situation and see what everybody else is struggling with. Because look here, Tierney, there comes a point in your life where you got to say, you know what? I'm not everybody else. Too many Christians and they're looking around and they're telling God and they're stressing because they've looked over here and something happened over here with this person and now they're all freaked out. Well, look here. Stop looking at them. Take a good look at yourself, because see, it's your life. When you go to heaven, when on judgment day, you're answering for you, nobody else. And so it says here, he gave me a firm place to stand and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many probably about 3 years ago, I've always been a daddy's girl. How many of you, you love your dad? Whether they're still living or not, you loved your dad. Okay. I always ask because, you know, you get people and they say, well, I can't stand my dad. He was a jerk. Well, okay, we won't talk about him. Then we'll talk about my dad. He was great. Well, Dad likes tinkering with tractors and things. I don't even live on a dirt road because I'm just not that type of girl. But one day, about three and a half years ago, Dad calls me and he goes, Kelly, he has 10 acres. And I grew up on them 10 acres. And my mom said, Kelly, you preached your first message when you were 6 years old in the backyard, in the dirt, to a bunch of June bugs. And you made little crosses out of the June bugs and you had a funeral and you preached the funeral. And that was your first message. So I'm not wondering why my elementary school teacher said I was weird, because I am straight up weird. And I've just learned to embrace it because it's one of those things that's not going to change. So Dad calls me and he's like, the tractor is stuck behind the house. Well, me being a daddy's girl, I'm like, I'm going to go and I'm going to help him. Now, this is the part that just makes me laugh every time I think of this, because this was right in the transition period where he was handing the church over. Now, how many of you know when you're handing something over, I bet it was probably horrifying when God told him to do that, because he's like worked his whole life and he's built this place up and then he's handing it over to baby girl. And I would just be like, oh my God, are you sure? Which one, Kelly Mae? Oh, okay. All right, God, I'm going to do it. So I get out there and sure enough, it's stuck. I mean, and it not only is it stuck, but it's stuck real good. He did it good. So the whole day, like several hours, 7 or 8 hours, we're out there. And we have turned this thing every which way. We have tried and all this stuff. And in my brain, I'm like, what am I doing out here? I know nothing about nature. I know nothing about tractors. I know nothing. All I know about when I'm stuck is I'm going to find some dude that looks like he's got something that he can get me out. Anytime I've ever been stuck, I've just looked around and I was like, where is a man? Because he needs to get over here and help me. Kurt has got me unstuck a few times over here on the east side of the church. And I've learned to look at things before I even park there, because if I'm going to get stuck, I don't want no part of it, because it's a real headache. So we had this tractor and it was stuck. And I had these boots on, because I like to dress the best, even if I'm going to go and hang out in the mud with Daddy. So I have my boots on. And I started sinking up in what I thought was mud. We now knew it was sewage. And here I am, and I'm like ankle deep up in this. And I'm going, and I'm looking, and I'm going, turn the tire this way. And like he starts turning it, blah, here we go. And so I'm like, and me and Dad are both like, it smells out here. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this isn't mud on my face. And I go to step out, and off comes the boots. So then it's like up in my toes. And God is speaking to me right there in the middle of whatever the heck that was. We all know what it was. And it's squishing in my toes. And I'm going, God, I want to quit this right now. He goes, no, you're going to help Daddy. I'm going, Daddy's on his own. We stayed. And we got it unstuck. Now, let me tell you something. God has called you. Whatever you're doing in your life, I want you to know, we can laugh and we can whatever, and I'm good at driving in points. And I want to tell you something. If you don't hear nothing else today, God, when he made you without regret. The calling of God comes without repentance. Whatever God called you to do, you better do it. You better suit up and you better show up. If he called you to be a teacher, you teach to the best of your ability. If he called you to be a ditch digger, you do that to the best of your ability. If he called you to be a pastor, you do that to the best of your ability. If he called you to work at Walmart, you do that with the best of your ability. And there are going to be times when you're just plain stuck. And not only are you stuck, but you keep going lower and lower and lower. What you got to do is you got to say, God, I'm stuck. And you've got to fight that human reaction to want to quit and give up. Because you know what? Quitters never prosper. Amen. Quitters never go anywhere in life. Why? Because they always quit prematurely. Yes. You're never going to get unstuck in your life if you won't just get in there and say, you know what? Come hell or high water or poop or whatever comes about in this day, we're getting out of this. There came a point to that where I thought, you know what, God, whatever you're trying to show me and Daddy, we're going to get through this and we're going to work together and we're going to get this tractor. Now look here, if Daddy and Blondie over here can get a tractor unstuck that's stuck in poop, look here, ain't nothing too hard for God. Ain't nothing too hard for him. And it says that he put a new song in my mouth. See, what a lot of what needs to go on is you need to stop talking about it. Stop glorifying your circumstance by giving it life every day. See, a lot of people say, well, I just can't get over what they did. I can't get over what happened. I can't get over. No, you can't, because you're giving it life every day. You're giving it life every time that you talk about it. See, whatever happened to God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let them be pleasing to you. You can't keep resuscitating that grudge and think that you're going to move on with your life. No, when you resuscitate that thing, you give it life over and over and over. You want to move on? You want to get unstuck with what's really bothered you? Step up out of it and say, God, I just tell you right now, I'm moving on. God, I'm coming to you. Here we go. And Lord, I'm not going to glorify Satan in this situation anymore by talking about it anymore. One of the keys to getting out of that sinking circumstance is stop talking about it. Amen. Stop talking about it. When you want to talk about it, say, God, I thank you right now, Lord, that just as you put words in Jeremiah's mouth when you called him, God, I ask that you'd put words in my mouth today. God, give me words to say. Lord, don't let me talk about that situation anymore. God, put a new song in my mouth and help me to move forward. Let's go to Psalms chapter 66. We're going to look at verse 1. And in Psalms chapter 66, verse 1, it says, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name and make his praise glorious. Verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. When was the last time in your circumstance where you stopped and you just had a talk with God and you began to tell God just how grateful that you are? When was the last time you just stopped right in the middle of your circumstance that's hurting you so bad and you just say, God, awesome are your deeds. God, everything that you've done in my life up to this point, God, has been right on time. Lord, I thank you right now because, God, I'm not going to look at this circumstance anymore. But, God, I just thank you right now, Lord, that you've never been late. So, God, right now, I just want to tell you thank you for what you've done. God, up to this point in my life, God, you've been so faithful. So, God, right now, I want to talk about who you are. God, I want to thank you for being there for me when nobody else was there for me. God, I want to tell you thank you for healing my body, God, when the doctors told me there was no hope. God, I want to tell you right now, thank you for stepping in with helping me raise my children, God, when it got so hard. Lord, when my life seemed like it was never going to get any better, God, I want to thank you right now because, God, you turned it around and, God, you made it come out for my good and, God, for your glory. See, when was the last time you stopped talking about your problem and you started talking to God and you just told God how thankful that you are to him? See, the word says, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Say it to God. Say it to God. You know, I won't apologize for this because, you know, the day that I have to sit here and dance around certain things and I can't just preach and say it how it is, God doesn't need me. Because let me tell you, there's too many pastors that won't just tell it like it is, and people will sit in a pew every Sunday thinking they're going to heaven, and the word just goes right over their head. Because, see, the word says, prophesy to me smooth words. Tell me, Pastor, what I want to hear, because if you say anything that convicts me, I ain't going to go to your church. Well, look here, if the word don't convict you, then it ain't going where it needs to go, okay? Right. Now, let me just tell you, on Sunday nights, when I get up here and I say, now who has a testimony, and ain't nobody raises their hands, that's not good. Dad's going, she's more of a jerk than I've ever been. Amen? We just read it in the Bible. It says, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. How awesome are your deeds? Let's take my godson and let's put him in the nursery. Poor baby. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. See, God is going to work on your behalf. He is going to work on your behalf. Right in the middle of the battle, a lot of times I'll say, well, God, where are you? God, where are you? Look here, God hasn't left. Now, if that screaming kid has got your attention, you need to refocus. This is not a scripted service. We don't have those here. I had two screamers, so I know exactly. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. And he turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Verse 8, praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. When you're in a circumstance and you're sinking in that, it's always... You always want to look around and you want to just be like, oh my gosh, look here. Let me read that one more time. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. God has kept you so many more times than you're even aware of. There are days where when you woke up in the morning, the devil had planned to kill you, to steal from you, to destroy you. And God preserved you. God stepped in and he preserved you. One of the most important things when you're in a circumstance and you feel like you're sinking in it is don't lose sight of who God is, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one thing that will never change on you. He is the one constant in your life that is never going to let you down. He's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. And because of that, you can rest assured that whatever you're going through in your life, he is preserving you. And he's kept you. And he's kept you. Not because you're perfect, but because you're his. I can't tell you how many times the devil set something up to be the end of me. Look here. The only one that ends me is Jesus. The only one that ends you is Jesus when he calls you home. God will not allow the devil to take you down. But when you're sinking, you need to realize, I'm sinking, and God, I need help. God, help me. Call on God. Call out the promises of God. When you feel like you're in something that's going to take you down, you need to go to Psalms chapter 66, and you need to read verse 9, and you need to say, now, God, you said in your word that you preserved my life and you kept my feet from slipping. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak the word over my life. And, God, right now, I thank you that you are preserving my life. God, not only are you preserving my life, but, God, you're keeping my feet from slipping. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you make my path straight. God, I thank you right now that you've given me ears that I can hear your voice. God, right now, I thank you for that victory that you have. God, in the middle of all the chaos, God, I thank you for the victory. See, David in the Psalms, he said, Lord, you enlarged my territory in the middle of all of my distress, in the middle of all the things that the devil had set out for me. God, you made me bigger and you made me greater in the middle of all of that. See, God is not intimidated by your battle. You may be, but God isn't. Why? Because God is well able to make all grace abound. Why do we stand up every Sunday morning? Because look here, God wants you on your feet. Why? Because you go in places. That's why. And when the devil knocks you down and you come to church on Sunday mornings when you didn't feel like it, when you got into a knockdown drag out with your kids and your family and your wife and your husband, see, when hell tried to keep you from getting here, and yet you're still in God's house and Pastor Kelly says, stand to your feet. You need to block everything out and just say, God, I thank you right now that I'm standing. This has just been a week, but God, you're bigger than that bad week. So God, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for a better week. And so it says, he preserved our lives and he kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. Look here. God is refining you. You will be better than you've ever been. Amen. When you get through something and you feel fire, don't forget, God has a history of just walking people right through fire. He has a history of parting the Red Sea and letting them walk on dry land. Why? Because that's what God does on a daily basis. God hasn't stopped doing that. Amen. And it says, you brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. In verse 12, you let men ride over our heads, and we went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. See, you may go through a few things that are difficult and hard for you, but I want to tell you right now that, see, some days I'm like, God, this is a very hard job. But you know what, Miss Mary, at the end of the day, the easiest thing that I get to do, is preach the word, because this word has a 100% success rate. 100%. If you'll stand on the word, if you'll live your life according to the word, there is no way there is a failure in there. Now, it may look like it. It may look like it's going that direction, but it ain't. But it ain't. The word said, we went through fire, we went through water, but God, you brought us to a place of abundance. Amen. See, God has a place of abundance for you. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm not going to leave money out, but I'm talking to that place of abundance for you, where you've had a lack, where you've had a struggle, and you feel like you keep coming back and circling around to that same one. Look here, God has a place of abundance. Don't allow yourself to keep sinking in that situation. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 is my absolute favorite chapter in the Bible, because it will make you fall in love with God so much. So Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to just start out at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. If you wonderful young men can get that for me in the sound booth. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Look here. Why did Peter start to sink out of fear? What is God telling us here? Fear not, because I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. See, if you belonged to anybody else, you might have a reason to be afraid. But you belong to the living God. And for that reason and that reason alone, Keisha, we're in a good place. We're in a good place. God, everything may look like it's not going good, but God, I don't go according to what things seem like, feel like, taste like, look like. God, I don't live by those senses, but God, I live in a supernatural, abundant life. So God, I'm going to trust who you are. Lord, I won't look to the left. God, I won't look to the right. God, I'm going to look straight at you because God, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I just plead the blood over myself. God, and I tell that fear inside of my heart to go right now in Jesus' name. See, those are prayers of power. That's what comes out of you when you can know the word, when you can pray the word. So it says here, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, and since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I want to tell you today, do not be afraid. When you feel like you're sinking, do not be afraid. You do not have the luxury of that negative thinking. Do not allow that fear to come in there. When you feel it creeping in, plead the blood of Jesus over it. Take that first thought of that fear and take it captive. Pull it out of you and say, fear, I bind you up right now in Jesus' name. I tell you to go in Jesus' name, and I will not let you live in this heart. And you begin to speak to that fear. And it says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let me tell you something. There isn't anything, there isn't any fire you've traveled through alone. There is not a circumstance in your life that God says you're handling that one on your own. If you're sinking in here this morning, call on God. Call on Him. Get real with Him. Have a real conversation with Him. I want to end with this story. One of the most important things that you can do in the middle of a sinking circumstance is get your peace about you. Get your peace about you. Pray it through until you have a peace about it. Pray it through till you have a peace about it. What does the devil come to steal first? Your peace. What does he insert in that place of peace? Fear. So, in 1828, there was a gentleman by the name of Horatio Spafford, and he was a very wealthy Chicago businessman and lawyer, and he had five children, and they lived in Chicago. And there was a massive, massive fire in Chicago. So they decided, he decided that he was going to send his wife and his children, and he had to stay. He was going to come a couple days later, and he was sending them by ship. Well, on that excursion, he sent his wife Anna and their four daughters, 11-year-old Anna, 9-year-old Margaret Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanita, on ahead of them, and they sailed on the steamship. And it was struck by an iron sailing ship, and it sank into the Atlantic Ocean in 12 minutes. And the rescuers found Spafford's wife unconscious and floating on a plank of wood. But sadly, all four of the couple's daughters perished. And when Anna Spafford arrived, she telegraphed her husband two words, "Saved alone." She told her husband in a telegraph, "I was the only one that made it. Our four daughters are dead." Spafford immediately booked passage on a ship and left to join his wife. And as the ship crossed the Atlantic Ocean in the area where the ship had sank, the captain came down and he took Mr. Spafford and he said, right here is the place where your daughters died. Right here is the place where this ship began to sink." He took out his notebook and he began to write a song that we still sing today, and I'm going to read the words of it to you. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." I'm not saying this life has been easy for you. It hasn't been easy for me. And I've told God, "God, I'm ready for a comeback." Amen. What does God do with you? Many times He'll bring you to that place that caused you so much pain. And He'll put a new song in your heart. "It taught me to say, it is well with my soul." There are times where you're going to go through a circumstance and it's going to cause you great pain. What do? You still, in the middle of pain, you still allow God to put a new song in there, and you retrain your mouth and you retrain your heart and you retrain your soul, and you begin to see out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart today? Are you saying, "It is well. It is well with me. God, it don't look good, but God, in Jesus' name, it's well with me right now." Heaven and earth are going to record it today. God, I'm saying that it's well. God, it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying, because God, it matters what you say. God, what do you say about my circumstance? God, right now, Lord, in the middle of the pain, God, I'm coming back to you right now. And God, I thank you that there's a turnaround. God, it is well. Well with my soul. God, not because the news says it. God, not because I'm saying it. But God, you said that it's well with me. So God, in Jesus' name, it's well with me. Now I want to ask you, are you in the service this morning? Are you in your home today? And are you saying, "God, I feel like I'm in the middle of something and I have felt like I'm just sinking in that circumstance. God, I want to react to that word, because God, right now, I'm going to allow you to come in and pull me up out of that situation." It may be depression. It may be sadness. It may be anxiety. It may be a problem on your job. See, I don't know, because I don't know your circumstance, but God knows it. I'm going to ask you to stand, if that's you, and respond to the word that's gone out today. If you're in your home and you're sitting on your couch, I'm going to ask you that if this is for you, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Why? Because see, God's right in that couch with you. He's right in your home with you. He's going to meet you in that place right where you're at. If you're in your car right now and you want to respond to this message, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand up while you're driving. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place, you see people that have responded to your word. So, God, right now, I thank you that you're coming in right now. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now, God. You know the circumstance. You know exactly what they need. God, I thank you that you're lifting them out right now. God, I bind up, Lord, any hindrance on their life. Lord, and I loose right now your favor, God. I loose the spirit of peace in this place right now. I bind up depression in here. I bind up anxiety. God, I bind up grief right now, and I tell those things to go. I bind up pornography and addiction, God, in this place right now. Lord, I loose, God, healing in this place, God, to keep us, to bless us, God, The rest of y'all, stand with us. We're going to dismiss. Lord, I thank you for every person, God, that's here today. Lord, I ask that you'd bless us. God, I ask that you would keep us. Lord, and I ask that you'd make your face to shine upon us and give us peace, God. And we thank you, God, and we praise you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.